You'll find the text in Titus if you turn there with me this morning. And it sure is good to be in this place and with these good people. I saw the number of hands last night that represented first-timers here. And I'm so glad you're here, and we want you to be welcome at the National Soul Lord Conference. And I don't see how you can come to North Carolina and not feel welcome, praise God. It's good to be here. And this place I frequented quite often and preached several meetings for Brother Bobby. It is my first time to preach at this conference, and so I'm real scared. I want y'all to pray for me. And I don't say that out of redundancy or ritual. It's not just the thing to say, but I need you prayers. Some people just lie all the time. They say, pray for me. And they're not really meaning it. I sincerely need you. One boy lied all the time. You heard about him, Brother McCoy, down south. He told his mama big stories. He'd tell her, Mama, I was outside today, and a big spaceship came down. And these green men got off the ship. He was telling all these stories. And he was just a pathological liar, a habitual liar. And so his mama went to the preacher and said, Preacher, said, we got a problem with our son. He lies all the time. Said, could you talk to him maybe one service? And sure enough, one Wednesday night, the preacher was down by the communion table, and he saw the boy playing in the foyer. He said, son, come here a minute. I want to tell you a story. And the little boy came down there, eyes big, looking up at the preacher. He said, yes, sir. He said, you always telling these big stories. So let me tell you a story. He said, one time I was preaching up in the mountains. And said, about halfway through the message, a big old black bear came in the back doors, knocked the doors wide open. And came walking down that center aisle and picking up people like hamburger sandwiches. Just swallowing them down just like that. See, he got about halfway down the aisle and a little bitty old feist dog about ankle high came running down that center aisle and grabbed that big old bear by the throat and choked that bear down and killed that bear. Said, you believe that story, son? He said, yes, sir, I sure do. Said, that was my dog that killed that bear. And said, that was the third bear he killed that day, praise God. You know he's a lie. But I don't lie when I say I need your prayers. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. We waste our time. And what a great message is we've already heard this morning, especially converted Christians. I want to be one of those. I don't know if I'm willing to pay all the price. I pray that God would make me and strengthen me and establish me. After you suffered a while, that's when that comes, by the way. And God help us to endure that time of molding. But I want you to pray for me. Then to get to know some of you better. Some of you, first time ever heard me preach. I've met several this week already that said, I'm glad to meet you. Many of you I've known for a long time. It is a reunion, like Brother Smith said last night. It's a great family reunion to come see our friends and allies. But at the same time, meet some new ones. I heard about a young boy who's dating a girl. And her parents were old-timey Christian people. And they told her, said, if we're going to further the relationship, if you're going to see this boy anymore, you'll have to bring him home and meet Mom and Daddy. And so at school that day, she told her boyfriend, said, now, Mama said, and Daddy said, you got to come home. Now, you homeschoolers, this will be just fine. Boyfriend, dating, it's all right. Amen? Help me now. Don't get me kinked this early in the program. Said, bring your boyfriend home. So sure enough, man, he came home. He was nervous all afternoon. He went down to the drugstore, and he told his girlfriend, I'll meet you at 6 o'clock. Man, it just seemed like 6 o'clock never would get there, but he wanted to make preparation. He went out to the drugstore, and he told the pharmacist at the drugstore, said, I want 3 boxes of candy. Said, I want a 1-pound box, and a 2-pound box, and a 3-pound box. And so the pharmacist said, you going to a party? He said, nah, I ain't going to no party. He said, I'm dating this gal, and she looks good, and I like her, and she likes me. I'm crazy about her. And tonight, I got to go over to her house, her people's old-timey people. And I've got to meet the parents and all that. But said, after we meet, I got plans. And said, we're going to sit out on the front porch in the swing. And said, if my girlfriend sits right close to me, said, I'm going to give her a 1-pound box of candy. And said, she wants to hold my hand, I'm going to give her a 2-pound box of candy. And if she kisses me on the jaw before I leave, I said, I'm going to give her a 3-pound box of candy. Pharmacist said, sounds like a pretty good idea to me. And so finally, 6 o'clock came, he knocked on the door, and she said, come on in, walked in, and the nicest table said, I'm talking about mashed potatoes with steam coming off of them, fried chicken. Two ways to get an amen in this crowd, King James and fried chicken. Glory to God. I'm talking about big old cathead biscuits and a glass of iced tea about a foot long, tall, and wrapped with a paper towel around it. And he looked at that table and saw at the head table her daddy sitting there. And he said, "Son, I want you to ask God's blessing on the food." And man, he began to pray, and I'm talking about prayed like a North Carolina preacher. "God in heaven tonight, I pray, God, you'd bless us now, God. And listen, thank you for saving my soul." Amen. I mean, he was praying and praying. Slobber getting up on the side of his mouth and sweat pouring down the side of his head. Blood red, high blood pressure. I'm talking about eyes bugging out, praying with intensity. Ran up and down the hallway, flushed the toilet and bathroom 3 times. Praying wide open. Finally, he said, "Amen and amen." And when he did, his girlfriend looked up and said, "My, I didn't realize you're so spiritual." He said, "My, I didn't realize your daddy was a pharmacist down at that drugstore either, praise God." But he got to know him better after that. And we want to get to know you better. Page 1284, if you're so mishappened to have a Scofield Bible with you. Gap theory and all. Chapter 2, verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." I like that. Thank God for sound doctrine. "That the aged men be sober and grave and temperate and sound in faith, in charity and in patience. That aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God." He's a good one. "Our great God. He's a good God. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee." Our Heavenly Father, I stand before this congregation, and I stand before you in a position where in the arm of the flesh I will fail. And Lord, I'm sobered by the privilege to be here. It's an honor to be identified with this congregation of preachers and these laymen, to be tagged a fundamental Baptist. I'm unashamed. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to represent us well. And Lord, I pray for the old crowd who's here this morning who needs to be encouraged. I ask you, Holy Ghost of God, that you would manifest yourself in a tangible way. We're not naive to realize that you're here in presence, for when we came, we're temples of the Holy Ghost. And you indwell each believer. But Lord, I pray we would not bind your hands this morning. And I pray that you'd use me for the next little while. And the best way I know how, I do yield myself to you. And Lord, I prayed many times and much prior to this meeting, and there are people who prayed with and for me and for the other speakers. And I pray we'd not leave here disappointed. But I pray that you'd honor your word when you said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst." And Lord, I pray we would leave here filled. Lord, help me to communicate the thought that you've laid on my heart for this hour. Strengthen the New Testament churches within this wall. And we ask these things in the name that's above every name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'll draw your attention to verse number 10. And the latter part of the verse, the Bible said that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. As the Apostle Paul addresses Timothy, or Titus, likewise with Timothy, he admonishes him about the importance of doctrine. Amen. He starts off in chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he goes and he reminds that our lifestyle as Christians, our home life, by the way, and that's what the context of our verse this morning deals with, is the home life of the saint of God. Wives ought to submit themselves to their own husband as unto the Lord. And they ought to teach the aged women of the church, ought to teach the young women how to stay married and how to be mothers. Amen. They ought not get divorced when they're 50 years old and leave their husband and teach them something else. It says that the aged men ought to be temperate men. They ought to be sober men. They ought to be men that are sound in faith. They ought not be wavering in their latter years on the positions that they took in their younger days. We need some of that today. Stability. And he says, and the reason why that we want these things, the reason why the Bible demands this, is that we may adorn the doctrines of God. And then he goes on and he gives a little bit of the doctrines of God as he concludes the chapter. He talks about the grace of God. That's a good doctrine. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Limited atonement, my hind leg. Amen. He died for whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Have whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I like that, praise God. I'm a whosoever will man, bless God. The doctrines of grace, it includes whosoever. And he said not only that, but he said teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldliness, that we should live soberly and righteously. You know, holiness is a Bible doctrine. You ought to live right and look right. Brother Mays Jackson said you ought to walk light, look right, and spit white. Praise God. There ought to be a change that accompanies conversion. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's still in the Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm talking about the change that accompanies conversion. Surely. You do believe that, don't you? I'm talking about, friend, he talks about the doctrines of God. He identifies some of the doctrines. He goes on to say, and looking for the blessed hope. I like that doctrine. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again. If we were to categorize these doctrines of the Bible, I think we could put them in three groups, and not that I'm exhausting all the doctrines or teachings of the Scripture, but I mean primarily we're dealing with cardinal doctrine. We're to defend the faith once delivered by the saints. That's what it said. Earnestly contend for the faith. We only have one body of doctrine when it comes to what we believe about this Bible. Amen. Cardinal doctrines. I'm talking about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when Isaiah wrote, he didn't say a young girl. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. A lot of difference. We don't need a biology lesson this morning, but there's a big difference between a virgin and a young girl. We believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in His visible return, as the text suggests. Looking. And praise God, you ought to be looking. And the church of the living God ought to be motivated and excited about the truth that one day Jesus Christ is coming again. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, praise be unto God. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Amen, right there. Jesus is coming again. I'm looking for the blessed hope. It's a scriptural truth. That's part of our doctrinal position. The visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about His vicarious suffering at Calvary. When we were yet without strength in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm proud of that. all we like sheep, Isaiah said, had gone astray. Had we turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Praise God, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The Bible said it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. I thank God for the atonement at Calvary. I thank God for his substitutionary death. That's the body of doctrine that we hold dear. By the way, don't get excited about it, but he died for you too. Amen. And he rose from the dead on the third day. That's good news. Just to remind you, we do serve a risen Savior. 72 hours after they put him in the ground, he said, I'm he that was dead, but said, behold, I'm alive evermore. And the Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for you. Now, he said, if you destroy this temple, said in 3 days, it won't be long, just 72 hours. You say, why did Jesus have a barred tomb? Because if you ain't going to stay there but 3 days, neighbor, you won't need it too long. And he said, no need to buy me one. I ain't going to pay a dime for my tomb, because I ain't going to be down there too long. On that third and appointed day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And when the stone rolled away, praise be unto God, the Rock of Ages walked out. Jesus is alive and well. He's alive. I'm excited about that doctrine. Don't want to get over it. You say, we already know that. Don't hurt to hear it again. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, because they seem hungering and thirsting to hear like the rest. That's good news, friend. Jesus got up. He wrote, and he's right now at the right, amen, when he by himself had purged our sins. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father at the majesty on high. He's still perched right there waiting on the trumpet to sound. He'll be back for long. The verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. What a great truth when I think about cardinal doctrine. Friend, we believe that the words of God are inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine. That tells you what is right. For reproof, that tells you what not right. For correction, that tells me how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, that tells me how to keep it right. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Psalms 119, 140 said, thy word is very pure. Careful, thy servants loveth it. Amen, friend. If it's pure, we don't need to mess with it. It doesn't need our help. I was reading a commentary not long ago, and the writer made this comment. He says, what a tragedy that the translators rendered this passage so. What damage they've done. I thought, my word, who gave you the right to become the Holy Ghost? My Bible said holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's God's eternal, impeccable, infallible, indestructible Word of God. Amen and amen. By the way, if it was good enough to inspire, it's good enough to preserve. Don't die on me now, him. I don't know who to preach to. I mean, we believe in the preservation of this English Bible. If you don't, you're under the wrong place, bless God. Hey, good neighbor, this Bible, this King James Bible is authoritative. It's the Word of God. Amen. I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. A little Greek runs a restaurant, a little Hebrew runs a clothing store. I'm having a hard time with English, praise God, but this King James will help you North Carolinians learn to talk, praise God. We believe in this body of doctrine. No doubt. You, that's why you're here. You've identified with this crowd. That's what you are. And he says, now that we've identified this sound doctrine, he says in verse number 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Lay with it. And he said, not only stay with it, but he said, then adorn the doctrines of God. The cardinal doctrines. I think about the constructive doctrines of the Bible. It can build. You do it the Bible way, it will build a church. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. See, soul winning works. Look at me now, soul winning works. It's God's plan. He that goeth forth and weepeth, hath bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The word of God's promises are, you go and there'll be a low. Mark says, lo, I'm with you all. We like that presence of God, the lowing of God. Bob Gray preached a message in days gone by at Camp Zion over in Myrtle. He preached on no low and no go. No go and no low. I think the New Testament church is looking for the low without the go. You go and then there'll be the presence of God. Stay with me. God's way works. It's the constructive doctrines we find in the pages of God's Word. They can construct a church. They can construct a family. You build your home on the foundation of God's Word. It's not a sandy foundation. It's not a shaky foundation. Praise God, it's a steady foundation. It's a firm foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, it is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, ye who unto Jesus for refuge hath fled. We got the book. It's a constructed book. These doctrines, I say this, they're corrective doctrines. On the occasion, don't think you don't, because we all do, we fall short. And we mess up, whether we desire to mess up. It's not our intention to mess up, but we do make error. And I'm glad when we get lost in the way. I've never got tired of the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said in John 10:9, I'm the door. Thou meeth any man enter in. I said he shall be saved. I'd go in and out and find pastures. I know who the way is. I'm excited about the way, but occasionally as I serve God, and I'm in the way of serving God, I find myself in a confusion. Lord, what do we do now? We've reached this place. What's next? Where's the next step? What do we do now with this situation? What do I do with this problem? I'm glad that the Bible has corrective doctrine. You get messed up. The Bible said, for with all shall a young man cleanse his ways. By taking heed thereto according to thy word, the Bible will help us get back on track. These are great doctrines. I'm glad to be identified as a fundamentalist. We've got it right. I'm not apologetic, but if I thought there's anything closer to the New Testament church in that book of Acts, I'd join in the morning, bless God. I'm an independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James, slobber slanging, sweat wiping, bug eyed, bless God, high blood pressure. Hey man, look up in here, sweat wiping, foam, bless God, at the mouth, bug eyed, high blood pressure, King James only, Stamps Baxter singing, King James only, Stamps Baxter singing, Baptist, bless God. Hey man, and if I thought there's anything closer to the New Testament church in the book of Acts, I'd join in the morning, bless God. Yes. I want to say, we got it right. Well, you Baptists could be all right if y'all just get the Holy Ghost. But when I got saved, bless God, I got baptized into the body by the Holy Ghost. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, yes, neighbor, we got the Holy Ghost. I say it around some of y'all, y'all get nervous, but you know, Holy Spirit for you that are scared of ghosts. Amen. The Holy Spirit. We've got the right book. We got the right... These doctrines that we hold dear to, this body of apostles' doctrine been handed down from one generation of the church to the next, we got it right. We don't need anything. We don't need a new recipe. Notice that said adorn the doctrines. That word adorn is the cosmeo. It means to embellish with honor. It means to add to. It means to add to garnish or to shine or to polish. It means, watch me now, cosmeo, it's the word we get cosmetic from. It's the root word. Now, my wife's beautiful, with or without makeup. She looks good, friend. I'm talking about my wife looks good, neighbor. Best looking thing in this building, bless God. Woo! I felt something on that. Looks real good. When we dated, long time before she had put makeup on. And it wasn't because she was holiness. I mean, she's listening to Michael Jackson back in, praise God. You know, she's going to, I better not tell the church she's going to. Stay with me. But as we started dating and our relationship progressed, I remember I'd come to get her, and man, she'd look better every time, and she'd start putting her makeup on. Now, she already has beauty. But what she did when she applied the makeup, she garnished her beauty. She embellished the beauty that God gave her. We've got beauty. Our doctrines are beautiful. Our doctrines are sound. We've got the right recipe. My mother is a cook, and she's an old-timey southern cook. I'm talking about from the old school. And I'm talking the right kind of foods, praise be unto God. Health food, I'm talking about. My sister, Sherry, gives a lot of attention to detail. In fact, when she cooks something, she uses the same ingredients predominantly. Same recipes that my mother uses. My mother has a tendency, she gets in a hurry when she cooks. And I mean, she'll make a banana pudding, and don't blame it all on her what I'm fixing to say, but I mean, it never sets up. You know, banana pudding looks nice if you can cut it out in a square. Sherry wouldn't let you eat her banana pudding until it's set. My mother would cut down in a hot banana pudding. I'm starting to feel spiritual on this thing. With that meringue on top of it, and it, I mean, I'm talking about it just turned brown and steam coming off of it. She'll cut down into it, and when she does, it'll all run into that empty spot. Can I get a witness right there? I'm talking about, friend, it'll just run all into the empty spot. And when she puts it on your plate, it almost looks like it's already been eaten. That old calf slobber's done mixed in with that hot banana pudding. It looked like somebody didn't spit it back. Now, on Sherry, on that, when she cuts a piece of banana pudding, it's set up for 30, 40 minutes sometime, been in the refrigerator, and she brings it back out and sets it. And on the side, she'll have a wedge of banana located in the meringue, firmly right in place. And it looks so attractive. Same banana pudding. But to be honest, if I had to pick one, if they were sitting beside each other, man, if they wasn't nothing but mamas, I'd eat it if it fell on the floor. Say amen. I'd get out of like a house dog and laugh that stuff up, praise God. But if I had my choice, and I looked at it, I had the same ingredients, got same bananas in it, same pudding in it, same eggs in it, got the same sugar in it, got the same egg whites that made that meringue in it. Hey, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick Sherry's. It looks more attractive. She makes me want to eat it. I need it. Anybody lose 100 pounds, bless God, they start thinking about, but all my sermons tie in with food. It's bread, praise God. Hey, man. Boy, it looks, and when she makes meat, my mother, I mean, it never fails. I'm telling you, without fail, when she cuts a piece of pie out of a pie shell, she'll get the pie almost to the plate and it'll flip over. You know, help me now. And then she'll maybe break off the pie halfway and take her finger and dig in there and get the rest of it out. Put it on your plate and lick her finger. And when you look at the pie, it's upside down. I'm looking at the crust. I'm thinking, is this like a coconut upside down pie? Sherry, on the other hand, she cuts a piece of pie. I mean, it's sprinkled toasted coconut. Got coconut shavings on the side of the plate. It's the same pie. Got the same recipe. But Sherry looks good. What she's done, she's adorned the recipe. She ain't changed the recipe. She didn't look for a new recipe. She's using the same recipe. Same recipe's been handed down from one generation to the next generation. We cooking what Granny cooked. We eating what Mama cooked. But Sherry makes it look a little more attractive. She embellishes it. Adorned the doctrines of Christ. I was eating in a restaurant not too long ago, one of our good restaurants, Brother Smith is familiar, Parthenon restaurant, and Brother Joel, our assistant pastor, was dating this girl and was looking to marry her, and so I invited him out on a double date, and we were sitting there at the table, and man, I was getting down, praise God. Listen, y'all bear with me. I don't get to eat after 6 o'clock at night, so I just talk about it a lot. And glory to God. I said, man, and they brought us the first course. They brought bread and butter. Say amen right there. Not margarine. Margarine will clog your arteries. It'll kill you. Butter. It's digestible. Malt bread. And I mean good bread. You ever go to a restaurant and got good bread? I mean not no old, good bread. Bring me another basket of that bread. We was eating that bread. Everybody's having a good time. Then they brought, of course, they brought our salad. And man, I was eating that salad. My wife, Tracy, was sucking it out the Hoover vacuum cleaner. I had ranch dressing coming off one side of my mouth. Salad, bless God. It's good. Shredded cheese. Maters. Hey, it was good, man. Blended lettuce. I was enjoying it. And I noticed Lacey, my assistant's girlfriend, she kind of pushed her nose up. And I thought, you better not marry her. That stuck up thing. I done bought this. I'm paying for this. And that stuck up thing, she's too good to eat it. I was going to say, Joel, don't you marry that gal. She ain't going to fit in around here. Anybody don't like to eat, don't fit in our ministry. Don't do it, Joel. It's wrong. You don't want her. And finally, I about took all I could take. I mean, she just pushed it away. I mean, she ain't took two bites of that salad and going to push it away. I'm just eating it four. It's a fancy place, you know. I didn't care. I'm going to eat it right there. Hand me your plate. I was about might near that close to saying, hey, what's wrong with you anyway? You too good to eat our salad? We got good salad here. I've eaten salad here a bunch of times. You eat salad over there before. It's good salad. What's wrong with you? I mean, I was so mad. I'd pure D madder than a junkyard dog. What do you get salad for? And I said, hey, Lacey, how's your salad? But she wasn't eating nary bit of it. And she, without saying a word, just rolled her plate around. And when it got right before me, there was a dead bug laying there. On his back. You talk about a big roach, sir. This bug looked like something they'd kill on Outdoor Life Channel. You got to get licensed to step on me. It's a hoss, man. I looked at that roach and she just smiled. And said, well, Brother Tony, and I thought, wait, and I said, y'all get your gear together. We out. Now, let me stop and say, I needed what was there. I got a little bread before I left. But see, I had a prime rib coming. I had protein on the way, something I desperately needed. I had carbohydrates. Baked potato with sour cream, butter, and cheese. Woo! It was coming. It was on the way. I needed it real, real bad. Y'all hand me the phone. It's all over for y'all. God bless you. Hey, look at me now. I had to have it. My existence was dependent upon it. See, without the carbs, without the protein, and without the moisture, and without the calories, my body couldn't make it. It was essential. It was definite. That there was no argument. I had to have it. These were not something I could go without. This was something I had to have. But because of that roach bug, I got up. And I left the prime rib. And I said, I'm gone. I ain't eating. Let's go to Crystal, bless God, and get some health food. That'll be good. I like to eat Hardee's biscuits in the morning. They minister to me. Them Hardee's. Praise God for Hardee's biscuits. And all God's people say it. Good crowd here. Hallelujah diet. Y'all can have that. I'm a Hardee's man. Bless God. Hardee's biscuits. I mean, I go every morning and I get a sausage, egg, and cheese. That ought to help you. Sausage, yeah, I know this is spiritual. Y'all hang on. We're going to get the message in a minute. I mean, it's good. Sausage, egg, and cheese. Pop, a good meal. Watch it. And I'll never forget one morning I came through. I was excited. I've been thinking all night. See, I hadn't eaten since 6. Man, my body's craving it. I mean, I'm thinking, man, get me to the Hardee's right now. I needed some. I needed an IV of coffee. Just get me there. Man, I got there. I saw second cheese, please. I pulled around. And man, I'm talking about. I was about to eat through the paper. You get enough grease on paper, it tastes pretty good. And I was grabbing that, and I went down. I took a big old big bite. I bit down on that biscuit, and man, it was tasting good. Till all of a sudden, I felt something in that biscuit. And I started, and it was felt. It was kind of stringy, and I reached up and I grabbed it. And I started pulling it out, and it was a long black hair. It reminded me of a guitar string. I thought, I'll take that and give it to one of our musicians at the church, bless God. Anything make it through 350 degrees of heat, man, bless God, 45 minutes, cooked ground up in a sausage patty, can come out like that, it ought to be picked, bless God. Glory to God, ought to sound good too. Man, I'm pulling this hair out. I thought, wait a minute now, I love Hardy's biscuits. And after a night of fasting, I needed Hardy's biscuits. My body was accustomed and it was craving, and it had something in that biscuit that was vital to my existence. It was going to help me along the way. It was going to strengthen me. It was going to give me the motion to go on. I needed the biscuit, but that hair show turned my appetite. I threw the whole biscuit out the window because of one hair. The Bible said we're to adorn the doctrines. I believe some of our preachers have become bugs on the plate. I believe that our churches are filled with hairs in the biscuit. And the world outside, we've got what they need in here. I mean, it's here, and if they would come get it, it would help them. It helped their home. Our constructive doctrines can help homes. I believe that if we were to get them in under sound doctrine and Bible preaching, we could salvage some homes. It's a witness at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. In many of your works, how the Word of God will not return void, but it'll accomplish where until you send it. You preach the Word of God to the people of the world or the people of God, and it always has positive results. It'll help homes. This world of charismatic doctrine and confusion. We've got the right recipe. We're serving the right meal. But they get about to the door, and before they get too far, they're finding roaches on the plate. To adorn the doctrines of Christ. With God's help, I'm going to give you three things. That's all introduction. Here comes the message. Just three simple thoughts. How can we adorn? What is attractive? What makes the doctrines of God attractive? We're not changing them. We don't need to change them. They've been working a long time. But what makes it attractive to the world? How can we help these families? How can we help these dope addicts and drugs? What makes what we have attractive? What garnishes these good truths? I'll tell you, number one, jot it down. I believe a consistent work. The first step is it involves a consistent work. Inconsistency has become the biggest eyesore of our movement. And not that I've apprehended. I don't speak with all authority. I know I'm young, but I want to say something. I got saved, and as just a child, we left the Southern Baptist Convention. All I've ever remembered was Independent Missionary Baptist Church. That's all I know anything about. And I know enough about it, watch me now, but I've seen a whole lot of changes going on. Consciously, as a child, I'm talking about from my very youth, I can look back and I've seen a lot of changes take place. When I think about our position, I think about this consistency and how we ought to stay straight and we ought to stay on the path that God has. The Bible said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. In light of the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, watch me now, but one of the greatest of all doctrinal truths, that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead with such an important doctrine. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:9, we labor. I don't sit around and wait on the rapture. But in light of the truth that Jesus is coming again, he said, 2 Corinthians 5, I'm confident, willing, and ready to be absent, but to be present with the Lord. There is a heaven.
and there is a hell. And in light of that doctrinal truth, he said, 2 Corinthians 5:9, we labor, and whether absent or present, that we may be accepted of Him. God help us to be consistent. Toss out thy hand, find thy with all thy might. The Bible says, well, therefore you eat or drink or what you do to all to the glory of God. We've got such inconsistency. I mean, it's a sad day when those who used to be what we are, we ought to be consistent in our position, who we are. I like the word fundamental. Look at me now. I'm not going to let the Ayatollah Khomeini and Bin Laden scare me. I'm not going to let the liberal media frighten me away from the word fundamental. These Sodomites done stole the word gay from us. Used to, he said gay, it meant happy. Now you say gay, it means you dying with AIDS or stand a good chance of it. Hey man, there's nothing gay about being a Sodomite. Preaching time. But hey, I come in here preaching, bless God, I'll leave out of here preaching. There's nothing gay about being a Sodomite. Gay about it, but they've stolen that. They've stolen our terms, the fundamentalist Muslims. That's just an attack against the credibility of Bible doctrine. So how are we going to embellish it, man? We have to embellish it with consistency. It's not time to change coats. Our position. I think about our purpose, not only the who of we are, but why we are. For this cause came I in the world, not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. They that are holding in opposition, but them that are sick. Paul put it like this. This is a faithful saying. Boy, I like this one. Have worthy of all acceptation. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Well, Brother Sammy Allen said, if he can save the chief, he'll have no trouble with the Indians. Bless God. Amen. Of whom I am chief. He's still saving people. But the consistency of our purpose. Man, I go in church, I don't know what they're doing. I'm not against athletic events. Man, listen, I'm so competitive. If I saw two frogs hopping down the road, I'd pull for one of them. Bless God. But man, we can have softball league at our churches and everybody shows up. And I'm talking to y'all because I know some of y'all. You have organized soul winning visitation and the deacons don't even show up. Any deacon that won't go to visitation, look at me, you ought to be ashamed. You ought not have to sit down. You ought not have to be asked to sit down. You ought to sit down on your own, bless God. Amen. Talk about a deacon ain't even on soul winning visitation. God help you, sir. God help you, sir. Amen. Got a big staff to go. But you have some kind of watermelon cutting. I just wish our church would have more fellowships and everything like they do down there at the oven. Y'all just so one track and everything over there. Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning and everything. I thought that's what we're supposed to be doing. Paul said, not apprehending, but this one thing. Hey, man. He said, but this one thing. I like that right there. He said, this one thing I do. He said, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to reach more people this year than we reached last year. We've become satisfied. Our inconsistency. Our inconsistency in our position, who we are. Inconsistency in our purpose, why we are. Our inconsistency in our practices, what we are. Not only the purpose, but what we're doing this for. Did you know your motive has a lot to do with your reward? It was downplayed in our movement a few years ago, motive. Well, just do it because you're commanded, and we ought to do it because we're commanded. But if you want anything when you get there, you better have motivated it right. Your motivation better be in order. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. That's a good preacher right there. Oh, bless God, a man got the tongues of men and of angels. He knows the ancient languages. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, said I become a sounding brass, and a tinkling cymbal, and though I bestow all my goods, not 10%, not a tithe and an offering, but though I give everything I've got to the work of God, and have not charity, he said, it profited me nothing. What watch out now. Maybe that motive has a big to do with your reward. Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. I'm going to tell you the why we do what we do. The what we do. Is your motive so that you can be accepted? Well, I tell you what, can you imagine Elijah praying at Carmel, chapter 18 over there, that fourth column in the See, I can see it. That's why I use it. Everybody okay? Is everybody all right? Watch him. Fourth column way over there. He prayed a 63-word prayer. And not one time did he say, "Now, Lord, if this fire don't come now, I'm not going to be able to have my television ministry. Let the fire fall so I can have a nationwide platform to be invited to these conferences. Let the fire fall over our place because I want a real large church and everything. Lord, I want to be invited, hopefully, you know. I want one of them honorary doctor's degree." You know what they are, don't you? They're like the curl on a pig's tail. Don't make no more ham. Hey, man! There they are. Lord, let the fire fall. That's not his motive. He said, "You know what, Lord? If you let this fire fall, that the people may know that thou art God, and I ain't nothing but your servant. I ain't trying to be nothing. I'm not trying to get man's pleasure, man's applause. Hey, I ain't nothing, Lord, but your servant." Then that fire fell. Consistency. Nowadays, it's the inconsistency. I say, let me hurry because I ain't got long. My sermons are like a fat woman crawling through a barbed wire fence. A few more points and I'll be through, praise God. Watch it. Inconsistency. Man, I met a guy in the airport the other day. Old white-haired saint of God. If I said his name, everybody would know him. It's been several years ago. We were flying to the same town. He said, "Hey, Brother Tony, what are you?" I said, "Doing all right. How you doing, man?" He said, "Well," said, "I'm going to preach for so-and-so." And I got a little question mark when he said that. You know, kind of that went off. Because by their fruits you shall. And he said, "Where are you headed?" I said, "I'm going to so-and-so's." He said, "That's one in King James only, ain't it?" I said, "Well, yeah, that's why I'm going." This was his words. He said, "Now, Brother Tony, if you're not careful, you're going to separate yourself out of a place to preach." That's the words. And if I said his name, listen, I used to listen to him every Sunday night of the world on the radio. I'm talking about he used to preach in these conferences. I got his tapes. Is everybody okay? You know what he is? When I left there, when I left that conversation, I was pulling a hair out of my mouth. This ain't right. It's almost like looking at that roach. I said, "Man, you might near make me sick. You're the one told me to preach this Bible." Inconsistencies. I believe that consistency is a great parsley on the plate of God's food and the body of doctrine. Let me give you this, and I'm hurrying. Not only is it consistent work, it involves a consistent work. To adorn the doctrines of Christ involves a consistent work. But if we as preachers and men of God are going to adorn the doctrines of Christ, it will include a compassionate witness. Compassion is sometimes misunderstood. It's misrepresented. Because compassion is revealed, I believe, first of all, in that we care. A compassion witness is a warning witness. You know why I preach as hard as I preach to our church? Because as hard as I preach, hey, look at me, it ain't got them halfway right. I know y'alls are all holier than thou and y'alls are all perfect. Look up here. At our church, they still carnal. They come in and listen to the wailing. We have to do three cheers for Jesus every service out of the get-go. Man, we live in Nashville, man. They come in on George Jones. "He's top loving her today. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He plays the reef upon his door. And soon I carry him away. He stopped loving her today." Dear God, you know what you get when you play country music backwards? You get your happiness back. You get your dead dog back. You get your sobriety back. You get your right mind back. That's so depressing. Come on now. And so I preach hard. I mean, honestly, man, I preach again things I get through. I don't know if I'm really against them or not. I make up stuff. I've got a conviction against contact lenses. I just can't find no Bible for it. They said, Brother Tony, why don't you preach on love? I said, I will tonight. I took a text, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. Preached about 2 hours on love. I'm going to tell you, if you really could, if you care, you'll warn sinners. You'll preach hard. Compassion is revealed in a warning witness. Compassion is revealed in a wise witness. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. It's not that you're so wise because you won souls. I had the concept of that verse for years. Go out there and win souls, you can come by like Solomon. No, it takes wisdom to win them. We got some eyesores, man. I'm for aggressive confrontational evangelism. But God have mercy baptizing people in a bus. Look up in here. Is everybody okay? Running a bus through a car wash and calling it baptistry. Look up in here. Is everybody all right? It's still preaching time. Amen. You say, well, that's extreme. And I've never seen it. But I'm saying there is a danger of getting in that ditch. Don't tell me. Look up in here. It's not time to bow your head. I'm not ready to pray. That's an eyesore. We had 9,000 saved. And I talk about how many they had saved. 11,000 baptized. Look up in there. And I go to church on Sunday night. And ain't enough in the congregation to stay warm. Hey, look up there. Something wrong somewhere, sir. There's something wrong somewhere with that. Wisdom. There is such a thing as conviction. Old time Holy Ghost conviction. Y'all forgot about that? Wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. We better get back some wisdom and so on. And then you got that super duper crowd here. They come in, walk into a home. You know, man, they're so holy. They're so pure. You know what I'm talking about. They spit their snuff out before they got there. Walk into somebody's home. They're holding a beer in their hand. Bless God, boy, what are you going to get that beer and get slain? Hey, why? That's right. Now, that don't work for anybody but Carl Hatch. Hey, man, tonight, why don't you put on that cigarette and get your heart right with God? Now, I'll tell you, if I was smoking in my house, you wouldn't be my wife. But if you came in my house and told me to put my cigarette out after I got through whooping you, I'd light another. You said, Brother Tony, you're too big and slow to whoop me. I'll whoop you slowly then. He that winneth souls is wise. Man, we start scaring people before we get them saved. Now, when you really get saved, you're going to quit watching TV when you really get saved. When you really get saved, ma'am, you'll get them britches off and put on a long dress. Well, I hope she does. And we're going to preach that she does. But look up, you've got to catch a fish before you clean him. Hey, man! You're foolish. Wise. He that winneth souls is wise. You know, you become a real hare on our plate. Talking about your big numbers, and I go to your church, and good night, ain't enough people in there to look up in here to have a huddle. It embarrasses me. And they see it in the fastest growing church in the county, yum, 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 and they go come visit your church, it's hollering there as a gourd. Look up in here. Wisdom. Wisdom's revealed in our compassion is revealed in our wisdom. Compassion is revealed in our, watch this, in our warning. Compassion is revealed in our weeping. We got so mechanical now. I remember when Baptist people used to be emotional. And they know a thing in the world wrong with that word. God, you know, you was made an image of the devil, wasn't you? We was creating an image of the devil, weren't we? No, you just create an image of God. That's why He gave you emotion. We used to cry over sinners. He that sows in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, Jim Darnell is down below my mother in Rutherford County. Rutherford County is rocky soil. It's limestone ground. You can't hardly find dirt good enough to plant anything. But Jim Darnell lives in that part of the county. You've been by. You've been through that way. He raises more cotton than anybody in the state of Tennessee. I'm talking about Delta Bottoms of West Tennessee included. He's in Middle Tennessee. I'm heard with a story. I saw him, man. He raises cotton, man, by the big old huge bales. He owns his own gin. I'm saying, when you buy your own gin, you're making cotton. You're growing cotton, neighbor. Oh, Jim Darnell, I saw him at the co-op one day on the dock. I said, Mr. Darnell, I said, how was your crops this year? He said, oh, Tony, said, we had a bumper crop. I said, you did? I said, man, I heard it was real dry this year. And this is what he told me, Brother Bobby. He said, well, he said, Tony said, cotton's a dry weather crop. He said, it don't take much moisture. And then he went on inside. And with just a few seconds, he stepped back out. He said, but wait a minute, Tony, I don't want to mislead you. He said, if you go and get a crop, everything takes a little water. When's the last time you wept over a soul? I mean, these women now, you know, they got so much as waterproof makeup, they have to pluck their tears out. Oh, I'm just under such a burden. I'm going to have to get one of these tears out. I'm under such a burden. I can't take it. Oh, God, I'm under such a burden. I remember after church on Sunday night, you could tell who had been in the meeting. That mascara running down them faces looked like cloud furrows. Amen. But we're so now, but we don't want to be emotional. Tears make a difference. Tears make a difference. Bob Gray from Jacksonville, Florida tells a story. He's preaching in North Carolina, just a few miles from here. And the pastor of the church said, Dr. Gray, I want you to visit a lady in our church. His daughter, she's in jail. She's mean. She's rough. Everybody's witness to her. And said, would you go see her? And he said, yes, sir, I will. Said, when do you want to go? He said, in the morning. So after service, that lady, the mother, came to him and handed him a little bottle of liquid, little yellow-colored liquid, and said, would you take this to my daughter? And gave him some instructions. And so he went to see the girl and got into the corridor where the girl was, and the jailer opened the door. They opened the next door. And when she stuck her mirror out and saw it was the pastor, started cussing. Blankety-blank, blank, get on out of here. I don't need your blankety-blank Bible. I don't want your blankety-blank gospel. Get on out of here. Get out of here. I don't want it. Well, they walked all the way down there. The pastor was embarrassed. Dr. Gray said, well, Mom, your mother wanted me to come. I don't care about my mother. You tell her to take her religion. She knows what to do with it. He said, well, before I leave, just let me give you this. Your mother wanted me to give you this. And he handed her that bottle of liquid in turn and started walking back up the corridor. Got about halfway down, just before they exited the cell area, the girl hollered out and said, hey, said, what is this bottle of liquid anyhow? And he said, these are the tears that your mother's been crying for you night after night. It broke the girl. She said, come tell me how to get saved. I'm going to tell you something. Moisture does make a difference. A compassionate witness is a weeping witness. Let me close with this thought. It involves consistency. If we're going to adorn the doctrines of Christ, it involves a consistent work. If we're going to adorn the doctrines of Christ, it includes a compassionate witness. We've got to get back to caring about people. It's not just a number. It's not just another tithing family. It's the soul that Jesus Christ died for. To adorn the doctrines of Christ, I believe it insists on compelling worship. I'm talking about old-time religion. I'm nervous that some of us who talk about old-time religion wouldn't know if they met him in the road. There's a crowd of Baptists that's deathly scared of the Holy Ghost. I preach in some Baptist colleges and I say Holy Ghost, and you ought to see the professors ducking for cover, man. It's like they looking down under the pews like they've dropped a dollar. Don't y'all die on me, bless God. Y'all know what I was before I got here. Hey, man! Scared of the Holy Ghost. Long before tongue talkers come along. Old time Baptist people shouting the praises of God. It's so funny, we use those little shout it and stuff in these songs. and put it in our lyrics, but we sure won't do it. If somebody did, we'd call them down. Oh, Brother Mays Jackson was preaching right over here in Concord not too long ago, several years ago before he died. And there's a lady got happy. Got happy, you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Like, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's in the King James. And she got full, got to praising God. She wasn't talking in an unintelligible language. She's doing some of that like what in the Bible, shouting. And you have a hard time taking that word out of the King James. Everybody all right? Watch it. And two, the pastor got so upset, he was just nervous. He said, Brother Mays, you're going to have to set her down. He said, I didn't stand her up. And I won't be setting her down. He's preaching in one of them. A lady got full, man got happy. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Sent two ushers to get her and carry her out. Started out the back door. She hollered, said, Brother Mays, hallelujah to God. Said, they took Jesus out on one. Bless God, they carried me out on two. Amen. Audible praise is still a Bible doctrine. And when we talk about compelling worship, I believe it puts the glitter. Watch me. It wasn't Sammy Allen. It wasn't Billy Kelly. It wasn't Dr. Seidler told me this. But Raymond Barber told me this, sitting on the second row. He said, there never would have been a charismatic movement if the Baptists hadn't lost their fire. That's what Raymond Barber told me. We've gotten so now, honest to goodness, many are called, but few are chosen, and many are cold, and a bunch of Baptists frozen. I stayed up and down aisles. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. We really got on tonight. Scared to death of it. They wouldn't have been a care. They wouldn't be leaving if they had. Look, if it's so good, why don't we act like it? Hey man, it's preaching time. I'm almost through, friend. I'm coming in for a landing. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. At Middle Tennessee Baptist Church, I want to garnish the doctrines. I want people when they come in and say, man, they got something. Many people look like they're enjoying it instead of enduring it. See, we've let academia intimidate us. Old time religion. I'm talking about it still works. It'll still help. It'll make attractive what we teach and what we preach. Because when they read it later and you're not doing it, and when they get in their own Bible study, wait a minute now, I'm almost through. I'm coming real close to the end. See, the origin of worship is the Word of God. It says to do it. That word worship's not a spooky word. And people so downplay because they've seen the charismatic movement, it scares them away from worshiping God. Let me say, listen, friend, you still worship God not to talk in some turkey talk. Amen. The origin of worship is the Word. The order of worship is the will of the saint. You've got to make up your mind when you come in the house of God, I'm going to get in it. David says over and over in the Psalms, I will worship. I will praise you. He said, I'm making a conscious decision before I get there. I'm not going to wait on, you know, heaven's jubilee to get happy. I'm going to find a reason somewhere to say, hey man, right there. If they even lean towards giving testimonies, I'm going to stand up and say, like they do it, I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. There ain't nothing wrong with that, friend. That's what they say. I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I go, yes. Hey, man. The observers of worship, the society. Benjamin Franklin made this statement about early American evangelism. He said the greatest tool of conversion in the early days was corporate worship. That's when everybody got involved. Now you know it. You grunt when you testify when I point at you. I'm just saying, Holy Ghost, look up here. He's not welcome in most places. I was in a meeting, and honest to God, I was in a meeting preaching in Georgia. And you know, the church, and a boy got under conviction while I was preaching. And he come down to the altar. Under conviction. I'm talking about white knuckle conviction, old timey conviction, wanting to get born again. Them kind of get saved if you let them, you know. He was down there just trembling on the altar. He's trembling. I'm hurrying. He's trembling, and I looked on the platform, and that pastor looked like I'd handed him a copperhead. He was as nervous. You know what he's doing? I could see him. He's doing it. He said, "Wait a minute, you can't come down now." you're not supposed to get saved yet because we haven't started singing "Just As I Am." Sir, you're messing us up. You're messing us up, sir. Trying to get saved. You're really messing us up. It wasn't written out on the program. God help us. Hey, man. Betty was going home to be with the Lord. I was mentioning consistency and told me. He said, said, "I don't agree with everything Sammy Allen preaches, but," said, "I sure appreciate he ain't changed." Daddy got ending up before he checked out that last message at the fellowship. At that network. He said, "What should I preach on Sunday?" I'm not taking credit for the message. But I said, "Daddy, preach what you always been preaching." When he checked out, he wanted to let everybody know he ain't changed. I ain't changed. Malachi 3:6, "I'm the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not." We serve an immutable God. We serve a steady God. An always the same God. God help us to adorn the doctrines of Jesus Christ with a consistent work, with a compassionate witness, with compelling worship. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the truths of the Bible.